Well, chaga tinia go di anti al debate le misha Brendan O'Davney and Shaw I Highland Radio. Welcome everybody to the DL debate, another instalment of the show, and I thank Ivan Borland, the brilliant Ivan Borland, for the power hour plus the legendary man keeping us all going on a Monday evening there. I just landed back down the road from Dublin. Great crack up there. What a brilliant day we had yesterday. I want to thank Ryan Brawley for doing the news there. Of course, my man Joe Dex is here producing as ever, keeping me right. DJ extraordinaire Joe Dex. Joe, good to see you, pal. Another big show coming up this evening. Shortly we'll hear from Donegal legend Kevin Cassidy and Sláinte coach the Pep Guardiola of the Glen, Gary McDead. They will be on to talk about Donegal's epic victory yesterday in the Division 1 final. I'm still trying to digest it myself. I had a great chat to the lads earlier. We're going to play an interview from that. Now, Kerry, of course, got in as favourites, but it ended up very one-way traffic. Brilliant performance from our lads. We'll also hear from ladies boss James Daly after his side's victory. Again, in promotion, they already gained promotion by Division 1. They are now playing the league final against Cavan in 2 weeks' time. They beat Wexford. Well done to James. It's back. The Donegal ladies back in Division 1. Donegal hurlers, of course, they had secured promotion. They were playing in the Division 3 final, losing out a couple of late goals. Heartbreaking stuff for the lads. Yeah, that game won. Wicklow somehow snatch a victory from the jaws of defeat against our boys. But listen, they're back up to Division 2. We'll hear a bit from Mickey McCann, the Bannister, later. Also in the show, Conor Gibbons will be on to talk about the brilliant Donegal Diaspora event that we were at last week, of course, in conjunction with Highland, and just where the event's going and what Conor made of it all, because it took a lot of planning. He was right to the fore of that. Just a couple of messages. Sean Gallagher, what a bit of message out to you. Great Gador man, huge Donegal supporter. He's down in hospital there. Listen, Sean, I'm just sending you all the best. I know you're listening to the DL debate regularly. Wishing you all the best from the crew here. Of course, we, as I said earlier in the show, I caught up with Kevin Cassidy and Gary McDead to talk about Donegal's epic victory yesterday. Here's what they had to say.
Lads, welcome to the show. Happy Donegal, men, all on a Monday. We had a great day out yesterday, Gary. Thanks for the lift up, myself and yourself, legal day. He was heading into the box, along with McGrenner in the crowd, and I'm sure they had a great time there, Gary. It was a great day, and all things considered, are you heading up to Dublin?
Yeah, it was certainly, it was merry on the way home, as you can imagine, Brendan, after a day in the box.
Yeah, you and your big huckster wagon, hey, it was a nice way to travel. You were putting people off the road nearly with that bit of traffic coming on the M1. They were getting out of your way. Duke's a hazard, boy.
How did you get up for that appointment?
Fair play. Yes, Kevin, you know, the build-up to this game, Kevin, was just, you know, there was so much talk about Donegal and Kerry and all the stuff with all Ireland. I mean, could you believe what you were seeing at times, Kevin? I mean, we've seen a lot in football. We try and predict games and analyse them, but you know, could you believe what you've seen there and how this game panned out yesterday?
I suppose none of us seen it coming. Once we got to the final, you're kind of hoping that we'll go for it, and that, you know, the team would be a strong team. So then, once the team was announced, you're thinking, right, okay, listen, we'll see what happens here. We're strong, they're strong, but, you know, after, like, the first 5 minutes, Kerry were good. After that, it was just complete dominance, and, you know, in every area of the field, to be like all their big players that hurt us last year were annihilated, to be honest with you. Joe O'Connor was taken out of it. Clifford was taken out of it. Their breaking ball around midfield was cleaned. You know, Sean O'Shea was taken out of it. So, like, I think it just pitched perfect for Donegal.
Yeah. Kevin mentioned, obviously, everyone's on about what happened in the final. Our zonal defend didn't work. We get hammered at midfield. We've obviously really addressed those, but still in all, it was Kerry, it was Croke Park. But in terms of righting the wrongs of that, you know, and when you look at the template that it is to dominate and win games, it starts really at midfield and kickouts. And Donegal hammered Kerry on their kickout, basically camped them in. And really, as Kim, all their big players were then obviously null and void because Donegal had the ball.
Aye, 100%. And even, Brendan, I'll even go a step further back behind. I was on the other side of Oisin from you. I was pointing to Oisin before. For the game, for the ball was even thrown in, how you could see the Donegal boys were up for it, how there was kind of lots of wrestling instigated by Donegal fellas on the Kerry boys, like laying down a marker right away. Like you could see the half forward line and the half back line in particular, they were going at it, woof their markers. Like Keelan McGonigal once got stuck into Joe O'Connor right away. So we did. Max Campbell, 18 years of age, stuck into Shawnee O'Shea, like not a bother to him. Shane O'Donnell was on Thomas Sullivan. You know, Kevin touched there on their matchups. I think our matchups were excellent, so they were yesterday. And the kickouts was huge. To go back to your original question, like on the first half, underneath both dugouts, like, you know, it was Murphy, big Keenan McGonigal, and Michael Langan. And then on the far side, or sorry, Jason McGee. On the far side, then you had Michael Langan and Huey. So they cut off all angles long, that we had five giants in the middle, and we'd played four along the arc to cut off the shorts. So the shorts were gone, so we had to go long. Now, the only thing probably that you would question was he kept kicking it in front of the dugout where we seemed to cling up, where we had three giants over 6 foot in there, whereas maybe up the middle was a bit vulnerable. He never tried up the middle. If you remember, David Clifford came out towards the end of the half, put his two hands up to pat it down the middle to him, and he caught it. Maybe they should have went there earlier, but hey, it's coming down to big men. They had more big men last year than us in the final, and they dominated the skies. Like, we lost, if you remember, Kieran Thompson early on after 20 minutes of cruciate. Kieran's a big fielder for us as well. Joe O'Connor really took over on that side when Kieran went off then.
Definitely. Yeah, listen, you know, we're talking about that. People are talking about, obviously, you know, obviously White and Paddy Clever caused so much problems last year, but that... It was about Kerry getting possession. And as you mentioned, Joe O'Connor was just horsing everybody around the middle, and Kerry were just in control. It was a complete flip of that, but it was right across all the lines. As Gary was saying, Donegal looked like they came to win that match yesterday and play as we had done in the league. We're playing well. We're taking the game two teams. But, you know, Kerry's form coming in this, a lot of Kerry people were saying up there, it's one of the best Kerry squads ever. And even with all the players missing, there was so much talent. And Gary was saying, with Tom O'Sullivan back as well, he had a brilliant game against Armagh the week before, the way they had hammered Mayo. So it was as if Kerry now were just coming in, maybe in the right frame, you know, just starting to take up a bit of head of steam. So we were expecting a good Kerry performance. And you know, obviously, Kess, not taken away, we came and played our game and played really, really well. But we just, it was just such a strange performance from a Kerry perspective. It's hard to kind of evaluate the whole game then, because Donegal were in complete control.
Yeah, definitely. Listen, there's a few things, and Gary touched on it early on. I was sitting high myself so I could see. And I bring you back to Neil McGee's comments after the league game in Ballyshannon, where he said that they felt that they were bullied last year, and it was clear that they weren't going to be bullied this time. Now, they did bring a serious level of aggression. Now, listen, on the other hand, the Kerry boys didn't really bite. You know, so listen, you have to question their mentality in terms of, we're picking here, we obviously know the Donegal performance was A1, but you're looking at things that, you know, Kerry could have done better. Like Gary said, they just kept lumping the ball out to the right-hand side in the first half, even though they were getting wiped out. You know, there was no call coming to change it. There was no attempt to go short. I know, listen, with a lot of speed in the front line, and possibly they were afraid of that, but... You know, I'm sure there's things that Kerry could have tried there, you know, if the stakes were a little higher. But Donegal, like, across the middle of the field, they just completely dominated. And Joe O'Connor was null and void. You know, big Hugh McFadden had a massive game as well, you know, crashing into people around the middle. And we were hoovering up the break. So, listen, Donegal did what they had to do. And listen, this week, all the questions lie with Kerry.
Yeah, and Gary, you know, go back to that. You're obviously up coaching in Sloughneil. You know, just looking at the Murphy kickout in terms of, like, what do you do at that point? Me and you were speaking in the car on the way up, and I was saying the 10 kickouts that we lost last year, Patton's kickouts and all that in final, 8 of them were breaking ball. So that says you that the desire of Kerry in the final, kind of, and their attitude towards the game, and it was an All-Ireland final, but they really brought the intensity to the game. And as Kevin was saying there, Donegal weren't going to let that happen again. And we were expecting a bit of a response. It didn't happen, but were you surprised that there didn't seem to be any other element to Kerry? It was as if Donegal were just going to wipe them at midfield. And once we get possession, as we see there, Kerry, Donegal have just an awesome amount of talent that's going to cut you up somewhere, you know, around that arc. You can defend it all you want, but somebody's going to cut through.
Yeah, it was that hunger and that desire for breaking ball. It was the hunger and desire for the match. The marker was laid down before the ball was thrown in. And that's a wild thing to say, going back to last year's Iron Final. I'm not saying we didn't have the hunger and desire, but Kerry just were on it. See, every day, Brendan, you're not on it. You don't. It's very hard to win games if you're not on it. Kerry were on it way ahead of us in the Iron Final. We were on it way ahead of them yesterday. Like, they were further back than we were in the Iron Final last year. Like, you know, we rallied for periods and nearly pulled that game back in the third quarter last year. But Kerry never got anywhere near us. They got a couple of scores come down the home straight from the 63rd minute onwards. I think they might have had maybe a goal and a goal and three in the last 7 minutes. But the game was over that time. John Donegal ran the bench. I mean, that's crazy to think in that high-level octane sport that it comes down to high desire and want and passion. And when you're not on it, it's really hard to get the victory. And it's proved there yesterday.
Yeah, but a couple of other things in there. Obviously, McCall going good on to Clifford. Do you think, you know, he's obviously, we put him on Bannigan the last day. He switched on to Smith the game before. It looks like now Jim is kind of highlighting him maybe to go after. Danger Man, that was one interesting side of it. Obviously, Michael being back, the form that he was in. And then, as Gary already mentioned, you know, Max in terms of Max Campbell's performance, you know, talk about kind of coming of age, you know, and I know you can Donegal dominate, but you know, he looks like Kevin's somebody who goes for it. You know, you often have lads in there at his age, new enough in, and they'll maybe, you know, they'll come back around, they're not too sure. He looks like a lad that's like, here, I belong in here, I'm going for this.
Yeah, you know, even the way just he was driving up the pitch and setting up scores as well, along with his own scores, but. You know, like that's, I'm sure that's something Jim and them love to see. You know, you're right to be something, maybe a young lad in his first season will just get the ball, happy to gain a few possessions, ship it off to somebody else. But, you know, the likes of himself and young Shane Malone and even McCahill when he was in the earlier rounds of the league, they don't shirk responsibility. And, you know, they do go for it. And, like, that's the way it should be because if you're up there, you know, 3, 4, 5 nights a week putting in that kind of effort, like, you don't go up there just to shirk responsibility and to let somebody else do it, do we? So, like, I'm delighted to see them do it, and I'm sure Jim is too.
Yeah, yeah. Gary, just to build up to this, obviously last year, you know, we got to a certain points level. We definitely put on the handbrake. We did change the squad a wee bit the last couple of games. We got cut open at times against Roscommon and Monaghan. So there is this, was this we thought in the back of your head, was what was that about? Was that vibe? Did that vibe kind of come through the team without us realising? Because, you know, we certainly at times there was worries in there, but we didn't see any of them worries yesterday. And we seen back to what we seen in the earlier rounds at Donegal, that they literally could take teams apart when they wanted to. And there suddenly was all this energy and momentum. And we mentioned some of the Kerry players were missing, but of course we're still, you know, the likes of Kieran Moore and Oisin Gallen and lads to come back in as well for us. So, you know, it's not to say we were at full strength. So what Donegal did different from this year last year is they did pull back a bit. We did change the squad a small bit. But you're seeing a real step up to want to win the league. So it's been a very interesting, I suppose, season so far. We've won the McKenna Cup. We've played some brilliant football in the league. We've now won the league. We're going in as favourites to Ulster. A lot of stuff very, very positive for Donegal. But now we're in a difficult Ulster campaign coming down the tracks where we're probably looking at now, Gary, nobody wants to play Donegal.
No, 100%. You know, and it goes back, you're asking there, you know, why, what was different or whatever. What was different? We only marked David Clifford last year when zonal with 10. We didn't do that yesterday. We marked far more and kind of loosely marked a couple of lads and then went zonal with the rest. And I think Jim will be very happy that he has found now what works against Kerry. You know what the big thing is? We've given everyone else a template yesterday how to go and play against Kerry. Like, Cork will be loving that game. They'll dissect that game. And Clare, obviously, first of all, in the Munster semi-final, they'll actually dissect that game. It'd be fantastic if you're part of the management team or playing team there to have that game to break down and dissect and really go after. I mean, the key was we didn't let have Kerry primary possession yesterday. Kerry have the best footballers in the country, pound for pound. So they have. But I'll tell you one thing, we showed yesterday we're not far behind. We have incredible footballers, well, fellas with really high skill sets. But we didn't let them have the ball yesterday. And it goes back to your question way at the start about the kickouts. Because we dominated primary possession, they could not hurt us the way that they hurt us in the Ireland final. They had primary possession last year and tore us to shreds because they are the Kings off playing ball. You know, and yesterday we showed that we can go with them, you know, as regards ability and ball playing level. And like as regards nobody wanting to play is like per down the performance they had on Saturday night. Like, you know, you can imagine even though they won, I mean they fell over the line against a Wexford team that they weren't expected to struggle with. It's difficult. They hammered them in the league beforehand, you know. It's perfect for Down coming into the Donald Park now, so it is. It's perfect. No one's everybody writing them off. I think I even heard Conor Lafferty saying afterwards, nobody else going to talk of even giving us a chance going to Donald Park. And he's probably loving that there, you know, coming into the Donald Park as well. And listen, but I think we're just too far ahead. Like, you know, I saw your friend Willie tweeting, I think it was on to you about that yesterday when we were in Croke Park about... He says all this talk, the Down talk about themselves being a Sam Maguire team. He said they're nothing more than a mid-level mediocre team. You know, he really stuck the knife in.
as he does. I've met Conor Lafferty yesterday. Actually, he's such a nice guy, a good guy, you know. And a bit of a chat to him. Yeah, he was disappointed with what happened. But as you said, talk about quelling any thoughts. Down did give Donegal a bit of a game in Clonus last year, you know, certainly to we didn't pull away. They later on, now, they were operating Division 2. Obviously, Down in 3 really hasn't helped them. And now they're a stuttering final where they could have very easily lost. Kevin, they, just on that talent you mentioned, I mean, obviously, Michael's performed yesterday, unreal. We'll get to the bit of boxing in a minute. But, you know, the form he's in, Langan, I mean, just talking last few weeks about keeping Langan at 11 for the 2 points there, because when he's in midfield, he can suck back too deep for me. If we can keep him of that kind of three, the most further forward, the 11 position has become very important now on the field. And there's arguably no better 11 in the country than Langan in terms of what he brings to it. And Conor O'Donnell's form too. I mean, the way he's taking those goals, Kevin, there's so much talk about missed goals in the league and that, but his ability to finish and side his ability to run. So, you know, with those three lads in around that scoring area, Kevin, you know, if we can keep them to the lads that are breaking the line and keep Langan in that area now that he's decided to play Hughie and McGee in there, you've got three of the best in terms of that kind of middle area there to really cause problems for the opposition.
Yeah, Damien, I suppose we touched on there how many players we had to pick up. Like any team that's going out to play Donegal now, you have at least three men that need to be man-marked, do you know what I mean? Because if you don't, they'll just completely cut you apart. Like, you've seen what Kerry, they stood off Langan yesterday and he just swung them over at ease. You know, Conor Donnell, if he's given any... Like, the goal, perfect example, Kerry thought they had everything, you know, tight and looked after and well-marshalled. One slip and Joe Connor steps out and next thing Conor Donnell's gone and it's the back of the net. So, listen, serious talent. Just in relation to I watched all four finals to be like, you know, Down, no harm to them. Even Division 2 to be, the levels are just completely different. You know what I mean? Simple things like giving away possession, you know, cheaply, handling errors. There's just such a gap there. And I think Armagh is the only team that could possibly trouble Donegal and Ulster. Anything else isn't worth talking about, I don't think.
Definitely. And you know, just kind of finishing up on Donegal, you know, obviously the form of McGee has been unbelievable. Now with Hughie deciding to be, you know, Jim wouldn't have played the three of them in that team before, Lang and Hughie and McGee. But from the final, we've learned to use that power. You have Murphy dropping out as well. You know, you obviously McCahill coming into the team this year, he picked up an injury. You had the Max Campbell. Like Finbar Rorty's going to be a season better. You know, as they say, we still have a couple of lads still to come in. You know, Mulroney's been doing great in this. You know, when you're missing Cap, I mean, what a backup to Cap. And I don't mean a backup, but I mean what a player to be able to bring in for Patton. If you look at the problems Kerry had and their own kickouts and that yesterday, you know, Mulroney is a lot more about him than that. He has the ability to switch it up. So there's a lot of positives, you know, even McColgan's role the last few games. So, you know, we're looking at Donegal from last year. Didn't give a good account of themselves in the final, obviously, but they're looking so much better equipped this year to really go after the big crown. I know it's Ulster first, but, you know, for this team, being back-to-back Ulster champions, a semi-final and final, Gary, there's only one prize Donegal want to see, and they look like they're in a good position to give that some assault.
100%, you know, when a lot of people, I haven't checked the bookies and all, but I'm sure this morning people might have them in as favourites, you know, after the result yesterday. Like, from what I hear, Sean Patton's going to be back training in the training camp. Washing Gallon's going to be back training in the training camp, you know, and Gavin Mulroney now he's probably been excellent, and probably people would say he's up there being the keeper of the league. He made a great save yesterday, so like that's going to be a huge call if Patton is fit, coming back for the championship. Keelan McColgan, wow, like, you know, what a performance yesterday. Like, to hold David Clifford, remember, people were saying going into the game, we'll give Clifford 10 points and we'll see what we do. You know, right. He held him to 1-1, Bren, 1-1 from play. Dylan Gainey last year was destroyed as early on. He had 3 points. We held him, McCall held him to a point yesterday. Now, was it the thing that I was wondering in, I was thinking last night, was it the thing that Jim was going down right? Maybe Clifford is just going to hammer us here. And I don't think anyone was expecting to get the return that Keelan McColgan gave us out of David Clifford. And maybe then he was trying to develop more people to man mark to free up Brendan, maybe to pick up the second best scoring forward, etc. Owen Vaughan did a great job yesterday as well, I thought, at the back. Patrick Mogan did well as well. And Keith Evans, I know he got caught for the goal early on, but he was solid after that. I think Hugh McFadden, the way he's transformed himself in the last 2 years, you know, he was always very big, and he seems to have really got his body in an athletic mode that he's able to move really well over the pitch. And he's a bonus. People would have said maybe Hugh a couple of years ago mightn't have long left, but he's transformed himself, and fair play to him. You know, I really admire him because he's a hard worker and he'll do whatever it takes. And probably the unsung hero, you know, in many regards, off the team. Having Shane O'Donnell back yesterday, I mean, Brent, Thomas Alwyn lit up Croke Park in the Ireland Club Final back in January, so he did. Shane, you wouldn't know what he was on yesterday. Shane O'Donnell quelled him, you know, and kept him on the back foot throughout the game. And you just mentioned Conor O'Donnell as well. What about the goal? Like, I think we held the ball for 2 seconds with the goal he got against Armagh. Just that move of the arc where they're coming, changing the point of attack, throwing on screens, fake runs, and eventually how someone went to sleep and they got through again. Like, Cass touched on there, I don't know, like, is three enough to mark? Is three of them enough to mark? More than three to mark? Like, good luck to Conor Lafferty trying to plan for them, anyway, that's all I say.
True. I mean, just on that, Kevin, I mean, Gary said there, Shane O'Donnell, I mean, in the engine room there, sometimes, like, Shane, I'd say up when he picked up the injury, nobody carried more ball. He was a serious man for getting us out of the fence and up the pitch. He's got the athleticism. He could be in the Olympics, let's be honest. I mean, Langan now, joint captains, Kevin, are you surprised at a joint captaincy? Or is the captain thing, Kevin, not like it would have been years ago in terms of they had to kind of drive and lead the team? The team tactically is more about the setup now, isn't it? But it's interesting they went for the two lads, I suppose, kind of two of the middle age of the team, if you like, and looking to set them forward, looking for these lads, I suppose, to develop this team now in the next few years and be the leaders.
Yeah, to be honest, when I seen it announced, was it last week or the week before, I was a wee bit kind of taken back because, well, listen, I'm just the opinion that there should be a captain, and I know there's leaders groups and all that sort of stuff, but just watching yesterday, Davey, I wouldn't be surprised if this was Michael Langan's idea, because he seems to have a very quiet fella, and he was happy enough to pass the baton over to Shane, let Shane do the kind of the media side of it, if you want to put it that way, and that allows Langan just to maybe talk to his guys within the training setup, and then deliver in the field and anything else. I know Shane does a lot of media and stuff like that there, so maybe it's a good arrangement, you know, that he can do that side and Langan can do the other. But listen, nobody can give a damn as long as it works out at the end of the summer.
Yeah, and Gary, just last question, I have to ask you, your club mate, though, we all know where Michael likes a bit of rough and tumble. I've often heard about him even out in the Glen there. If you want to come on and mix it, tie a training, come ahead. He loves that side of the game. But maybe yesterday when we see those replays, I was like, and you know, it was one of them ones where now, because it's Michael, there's so much more talk about it. Now, again, obviously, he had a huge influence on the game. I mean, they took his goal. I mean, I was saying to people, only people of absolute brilliance don't pass that ball. And it wasn't that Michael was in it. Nick, the game was done, right? What Michael was doing there was he was preparing himself for that eventuality down the tracks. It's already given off a handy ball there. He knew he could put that ball in the corner. Now, if you were like maybe a greedy forward, whoever they would be, going for a shot there and make a heavens of it, and you go, why didn't you pass it? You knew Michael was going to put that in the corner. And I think Michael was getting ready for that. He had a big influence on the game. But just on that incident, Gary, you know, and I think the lad said it in the Sunday game last night, you know, that there will be that extra bit of a spotlight now on Michael in terms of, you know, most games he would have come in with a big challenge. But I suppose a bit lucky yesterday in terms of what we've seen in the replay.
Yeah, probably lucky enough, you know, looking back at it. And listen, unfortunately, probably just a rush of blood to the head and you get caught sometimes, probably nearly going for the ball, and with the players moving that quick, your arms might land in the spot that you intended them to land, you know. I don't think there was any intention behind it. You would never go out to hurt anyone, I know that for sure. It's just unfortunate, and it didn't look good for him, and I just hope that people don't... he's getting a sore time online, so he is, and it's important people reel back online and realise this is a human being as well, and has a family and his parents, etc., and his wife, and that, you know, it's... You don't want them reading all that stuff online. It's very, very important.
You know what, Guy? I'm sorry. Listen, that's the idea. But you know, I wouldn't. I actually, pinch of salt. I mean, you take it up in the media there. We were actually having a bit of a joke with the Kerry boys about it. At the end of the day, your man gets up and he plays on. All right, it looks bad. Mm-hmm. But everybody's overdoing it because it's Michael. I mean, anybody that actually is critical, and that's a bit stupid. All right, he threw a bit of a punch. It wasn't like... If you could have a proper Michael Murphy punch, you wouldn't be getting up and playing on. Do you know what I mean?
No, exactly.
So, you know what I mean?
I think he was going for the ball at the time. It was just the movements of your man that was that quick and kind of... landed in the wrong position at the time, but no way would he go out to do anyone like that there. I know him for all my life, and it's not in his nature, so it's not to do that. Listen, he goes and plays the game hard, and he goes and plays the game fair, that's for sure. But I go back to your point, you know, on the for the finish for the goal, like, wow, like the likes of Hammond Connor, like, we have two unbelievable finishers. And then as well, Brendan, another point maybe we haven't mentioned is he had two-pointer frees. Michael Langan had two-pointers. You know, that's 8 points. I don't think we got any in the Ireland final last year, you know, so that's it.
And Kerry got eight?
Yes. So you know, that was massive for us yesterday to have Michael on the field. Like, Michael contributed 1-5 yesterday. His contribution was immense to Donegal yesterday, getting that performance, you know. And listen, I'm just delighted for him that he gets a National League medal to go alongside a Sam Maguire medal, but no doubt, knowing Michael... You know, he's not finished this season yet. He'll want more silver.
Yeah. My friend from Galway, JP, he's a huge GA man. He keeps asking, he goes, look at Murphy, because he was on a bit of the speed. He's taken off a few times now, and he's leaving boys in his wake. He says, he's got faster. But tell me, how is that possible? He's got faster. Kevin, you flew up and down. You're kind of... You're operating at the next level, you know. You fly up and down to Dublin, of course, from the west there. You were just saying that everybody's heading off to training camps and that there. You seen a few teams in the airport getting back this morning?
Yeah, to be, well, my option is a 10-minute jaunt to the airport in Carrickfinn or a 5-hour journey. So anytime I can do it.
Yes.
No, I came back this morning to be a 6:30 flight home, and I couldn't get over it. Like, I counted three county teams flying out. The Galway lads and the Kildare lads. I just chatted a few of them, and you know, like, it's just completely different now to me. You know, they're heading away, and every last one of them had the same thing to say. Yeah, that the serious business starts now. Like, so it's clear that they're all focused on honed in on the summer, and our lads are going away in, what is it, 2 or 3 days time as well. So yeah, the efforts and the attention to detail are just crazy now, you know.
Yeah, and listen, you're right, it's completely different times, because you have Kevin Casty getting a flight at 6:30 a.m. out of Dublin, and normally he's not even in the hotel at 6:30 a.m. So he said to me he was getting old. I said, Kevin, that's called getting wise, my friend. Get wise, lad. There's too much of a payoff. I took it easy myself last night. Gary, listen, no training camp for Slough Neil. You'll be running up and down the Spearns.
Yeah, up and down the hills of the Glen Chain, you know, maybe stop at the Ponderosa for a water hole on the way back.
Gary, well, listen, we'll be keeping an eye on that, and we want to wish you all the best and the great club up there, Slough Neil. You're up doing great work, so listen, we'll be chatting as the season on. And Kevin Cass, hey, Donegal legend himself, Cass, thanks for joining us, lads, on the DL Debate.
Yes, two top lads there, the Ponderosa is right. Hey, nice wee place to stop for a water hole. Okay, listen, great talking to two guys there, summing up the brilliance of Donegal in Croke Park yesterday. Our all county leagues returned, of course, at the weekend. We'll be keeping an eye on that in the football. Also in our football underage, Donegal under 20s had a big victory over Antrim 219-27. They now play Derry on Wednesday night in Celtic Park. And if you can get into Celtic Park, get in and support the lads. Gary Boyle, great man. Hey, great coach. Donegal so unlucky last year not to take Ulster, and they'll be aiming to do that again. I mean, someone like Shane Killen in their top scorer, a classy forward from that Antrim game. But listen, great squad. I say Gary's great coach. So if you can get into Celtic Park on Wednesday night, that's a big game with Derry coming up. Our Miners had a narrow defeat to Derry. Carlisle's Miners, 2-9-12. That was their final group game, just a short out seeding. The Ulster Championship is to come. Now, I say switch our attention to ladies' football. Donegal back in Division 1, back where they belong, with a brilliant 11 points to... What am I looking at here, Joe? 11 points to 9, I've written down. I was giving Wexford a lot of scores. It was 11-3. that's what happens when you're rushing down the road. 11 points to 3. That's a brave defensive display from Donegal, only allowing 3 points. After the game, Moyne et al. Caught up with a very happy James Daly.
James, that first half was played in really difficult conditions with a strong one. How did you feel your side managed going in with 2 points at the break?
Look, to be honest, we were happy enough. We talked about playing, we decided to play in the wind because a lot of our forwards coming off the bench would have suited us for bringing them on the second half. It would have meant that we knew what was ahead of us. So, but in the second, look, I thought the girls done really, really well. We put a lot of pressure on Wexford, turned the ball over. And for us to get 3 points and a half, I was happy enough with that. Like that's, I'm managing the long game. That's as bad as I've ever been on the sideline for wind.
Yeah, there was probably frustrations going on at half time, you know, maybe with some passages of play, you kind of lost possession when you should have been scoring. There was a couple of opportunities for goal as well, but as you said, conditions were difficult, and to be up 2 at half time with the 1 that you're back in the second, you sort of knew maybe you were in the driving seat.
Yeah, look, in a day like that there, and I was getting a bit frustrated, to be honest with you, with some of the passing. But then there was a pass that happened to me right in front of me, and I was dead in the aim of it. And me and Benneke, a simple repass across the pitch, and a 5-6 yard piss pass changed direction. So it's hard to be hard on the girls for that. Yes, we should have got more scores. Taking silly shots. And again, Moyne, as I said here, loads of times, okay, you know, like, it's all part of the learning curve for these girls. We had a really, really poor weekend last week against Tipperary, and it was coming out here today getting the result and assuring ourselves a Division 1 football for next year. So that's what it was all about here today.
Yeah. Once you got the run of scores early in the second half, the game seemed to open up. How pleased were you then with the clinical and composed nature of the team?
I still think we could have been better, to be honest with you. Like, we had some real good opportunities. Kieran McGarvey's pass into Evans with a penalty was a great pass, and again, I'm disappointed we missed a penalty, but that's football. But some of the, again, I thought at times we were kind of forced to pass, but then, as you said, once we get a couple of points up, it gives a wee bit of confidence, and we clipped a couple of really, really good scores. Real aggression by our inside forwards. Kieran McGarvey turned the ball over really well, and we got a point from it early in the second half. So those sort of things is good. Like, as I'm saying, these girls are going to learn. Okay, success is never learned, is never gained in a straight line. Okay, so there's a curve, and at times you're going to have blips along the way. And at times in that game, that we should have really been experienced, but at the end of the day, we got enough, we won the game, and we're comfortable enough.
Yeah, Suzanne White, look, I don't like mentioning too many players because I thought it was a very well rounded, balanced team performance from you. Again, influential she was on the score sheet, but I thought Evelyn McGinley was superb out there today. You know, she covered every blade of grass and she was assisting for most of the scores, and then again inside for that penalty.
Yeah, Evelyn McGinley is as good a footballer now as it is in Ulster. Okay, everything she does, no matter the ball gets near her, she's got great hands, she sets up, she's always off the shoulder. I thought Evan McGinley was fabulous. She got a wee bit dizzy, I think, that close to goals. That's why she went down for the penalty. But Evelyn's such old school, I tell you, and she just never stops working. She puts the work in, and she's a great footballer.
She absolutely loves it, as you say, getting up in front of goals. Oh, yeah. She's nearly in a nosebleed situation if she is there.
But she actually got up a wee bit earlier on and took a kick for a point. And said, Evelyn, why is Evelyn going for that score? She's got a Garvey inside her. But look, that's what she does. She gets herself in them positions, and she's a fabulous, fabulous footballer.
Looking back, starting out at the beginning of the year, look, you would have been setting your sights and getting into a Division 2 final. You're now there, and perhaps you could say you made a hard work of it. You know, there were games there against Cavan you probably could have won. and Tipperary, you know, maybe you left it behind as well. But nonetheless, you're in the league final. You have a chance again now at Cavan. How good is it for this side for you to be back in Division 2 final?
Oh, look, absolutely. And the goal at the start of the year was to get promoted, okay? And that's what we've done, okay? It's a big day out there in 2 weeks for us. We're in the Division 1 final, or Division 2 final. You get another crack at Cavan in 2 weeks' time. And there's no doubt, they're going to know they're going to be able to talk about us. Like, I thought we were the better team against Cavan, but you know, you have to take your scores. And in this game, it's about scores. And if you don't take your scores, you're not going to win many games.
Yeah, and perhaps looking back on it, maybe it's a good thing that you lost out to Cavan on that day. You'll be more hungry for the win against them now going in the league final.
No doubt, and that is our goal. We feel there's a bit of payback there. And I was coming home up the road last week. It was devastated. We have two losses, one by a point, one by 2 points. And like, let's be honest with you, there's games we won that were tight as well, you know. But when we get firing, we're a good team. We've got plenty of scores there on the team. So it's good to be playing Cavan in the final. And as you said, you know, there's a bit more of a bite about us now because they beat us a month ago. So we're looking forward to this refixture now. I think it's in Clones now in 2 weeks' time. So look, it'll be a good game.
Yeah, great stuff there from James Daly back in the big time there. Thanks, of course, to Martin O'Donnell for that interview. Now we have a couple of words from the hurling banner, Sir Mickey McCann, after his side's narrow defeat to Wicklow in the final of the Division 3 League final. It's strange because they have Wicklow now coming up in 2 weeks' time in the Christie Ring as well. But after the match, we got a few words from Mickey.
Yeah, it's a second blow at the end, you know, with 5 points up in the 68 minutes or something, you know, and concede two goals like we did, very disappointing, you know. There was a couple of frees here near the end, you know. I think the referee was throwing us. There's a free the other way, pushing in the back, you know, and he didn't give it. Goes in and ends up in our net, and you lose the game. So look, big decisions in games. Free count was very one sided there, you know. I don't like talking about it, but they seem to get a wee bit easier. No, but look, we'll just have to lick our wounds and move on. You know, we have them in 2 weeks' time, but. Look, we're in camp. We didn't fear coming down here to Wicklow. A lot of boys saying they were favourites, but that's not the way we were looking at it. Down here to win this game.
You were six points up at half time, level 15 minutes into the match. Wicklow really had a good first 15 minutes of that second half.
Yeah, it took us to get. They were on a couple of subs and they were lively, you know. And our half forward line sitting maybe a wee bit deep because of the breeze. We got them back out and we settled. And you think Liam McKinney finished there with a goal, 2 points. You think I'd have seen us through, but no, you're never safe in hurling, you know. And just at that feeling, when you get a 2 point lead, it's always dangerous.
Well, when it was 1-16 to 1-15, Wicklow in front 10 minutes to go, you actually scored 1-3 and looked like you had it.
Yeah, we've been on a couple of fresh subs, you know, Rory and Dan and John Keeley and them young lads, you know, and they had a wee bit of freshness, yes. And as you say, Liam got a great goal, you know, big turning point. We had a couple of nice frees after that, and you think we're going to see the game out, but. Nothing really down to defend. It's just if it breaks away in there, we tap in, so that's the way it went.
Well, for our Donegal listeners, we can say that we experienced it last week in Longford, losing 221 to 220, a point in the 5th minute of injury time for Longford. So we know how you feel today.
Yeah, that's twice this year we lost the McGurk Cup to Derry with a last minute 21 metre free. You know, we 2 points up. Dangerous lead, you know.
Now, what's up next?
Wicklow again. And Letterkenny, wouldn't you know? So
In Letterkenny. You must be favourites.
No, we'll keep them favourites now because that's twice they beat us. So, okay. But look, there's not much on the two teams to say. You know, we'll learn a lot from today and so will they. But look, we've done the championship.
Well, I have to say well done to you because as apart from the Limerick manager, you're the longest serving hurling manager, I understand.
Yeah, I've put a big effort on myself and Gabriel here from the start, you know. Yeah.
Nine years.
Yeah, 9 years, a long time, I suppose.
Good Lord.
The only thing, we're back to Division 2, the level we want to be, you know. It'd be nice to come up as champions, but look.
Some top teams in there, Michael. You're going to have Carlow, Westmeath, Down, like, you're up a notch.
Yeah, I suppose the league's. Even this league was a bit tiered. You had yourselves and Wicklow and Roscommon at the top end, and then the other teams, you know, there was a bit of gap with the scores. We seen two or three easy games there. Next year, you'd think there's two or three teams above the likes of us and Wicklow, but that bottom end, ourselves, Wicklow, and, you know, I think Derry's gone now, you know. But
And before you go, what's the hurling landscape now in Donegal?
Well, I suppose, look, most are. Our team is from three clubs, you know. You're starting to drift boys in from other clubs, but mainly we're picking from three clubs. But it's a very competitive club championship, you know, within them three teams. And you've like some cools and them coming with young teams again. So, look, I think we're in a good place, you know. There's 7 or 8 clubs, you know, and 3 or 4 of them pushing back to the senior championship.
Well done. Well, thanks for taking the time to talk to us. Never easy, and we look forward to seeing you in the
Thank you.
Yeah, well done to Mickey McCann. Listen, still, Mickey's just presided over an unbelievable time in hurling in Donegal. It's on the up and up. Clubs are on the up and up. Donegal are back in Division 2. We wish them all the best. Christy Ring is coming up in a couple of weeks' time. Wicklow is the opposition again. After the break, we're going to speak with Conor Gibbons about the Donegal Diaspora event, which was held in Philadelphia last weekend. Yes, welcome back to the DL Debate. Now I'm joined by Conor Gibbons. Conor, your camera working? I could see your nice face. Joe Dex is asking there if you could switch it on. We don't have to if you haven't got your hair fixed. It's all right, my man.
No camera at the minute, Davey, unfortunately.
Oh, listen.
I'm on the move here.
Times are
this
hard.
This is the best I can do here for you.
That nice voice of yours will do me, Conor. No worries. Conor, just listen, thanks as ever for joining us. Conor, just before we get into the Diaspora event, now, how's things in Dubai with everybody out there? You're obviously in contact with them just around the conflict in the Middle East.
Aye, that's it. Yeah, look, we're just, I suppose, waiting on word when we'll be heading back out ourselves. And there's talk we might be heading back out this coming weekend. So, yeah, just kind of monitoring it and seeing what the next step is. But no, we could be back out there soon, so we could.
Yeah. You're in no wild rush, though, I would imagine.
No, I'm enjoying things, in fairness. I'm enjoying the simple things again back in Letterkenny here, so I am.
Yeah, and Conor, the people in the club, did they get much of, a view of things there? Were they tuning in to what's happening? Were they commenting on it? I suppose it was a huge sadness out there that the group couldn't have made it.
Yeah, no, of course. Everyone was tuning in, and obviously they were absolutely gutted that they couldn't make it out, you know, and as I said the last time, there was near 40 with the flights booked, ready to go. And but they're also looking forward, and they know that it was only the first of many to come. Like, so, they'll be looking forward to the next one. And they know how good the weekend went, Brendan.
And tell me, if they had been there, what about a warning shot? They say Dubai would have won the titles that they. They will sort you out in the next one. Is that the battle cry now coming from?
I was going around saying that, but I was getting a bit of pushback from a couple of the Donegal Boston lads, so I was. I'll not say anything yet now, but yeah, we'll be coming, so we will, Brendan.
Yeah, and Conor, just the organisation of it, you were in it from the start. You contacted me so long ago about it. For you to be able to get back and get out, it was so important. I know it was really difficult for you. You had to get back here first and then rebook a flight out. So, you know, that's not an easy thing to do, Conor. It was a huge commitment for you to get out there. I know your family was out as well. So it was brilliant, Conor, to be there after, I suppose, being part of the initial setup for the whole thing and getting everything together right across all the Donegal diaspora.
No, yeah, definitely it was. It was great to get out. Like, it wasn't looking likely for a while. But listen, is that what I was saying at the time too, Brendan? Like the event, with or without us, like the event was going ahead, like, and it was, you know, everything was, there was so much work put into it. I would have been even more devastated if there was something going on where the whole thing was called off. It was a bonus, and it was great that I was able to get out, and the family were able to get out too. But it was brilliant. Excellent time.
Yeah. And the lads there, was there an organising committee? I know obviously Kieran Porter and you, John and Paul McDade and guys in there. Was there a committee kind of set up to do things, and then you just kind of pulled in people where you could to help out?
That was it, yeah, that was it. As soon as the Donegal or the Philadelphia Championship finished up, the whole club out there, like, and as I said the last time I was on here, like, when I knew the people out there, from my time there back in 2013, when I knew the people who were involved, like, again, that you mentioned the McDades and the likes of Cahill and Siobhan McHugh and many more, I had no doubt, I said this the last time, but I had no doubt it was going to be a success of a weekend, and that was just the case. Like, so the work they did on the ground out there was unbelievable, like, from start to finish. Like, they couldn't have done any more, and it couldn't have went any smoother, so it couldn't have. So, yeah, just a big shout-out to everyone over around Havertown over there.
Havertown,
yes.
Yes, I like it. I'll put on my NWCR voice. Hey, Conor, how many Donegal teams are out there in different places? Did you guys reach out to all of them? I'd imagine probably we're not even aware of where there is. I mean, we obviously know all the hotbeds of Donegal, yes, teams are out there, but are there Donegal teams in other wee places we wouldn't really know? Did they get an invite, or was that something that you looked into?
No, that was 100%. That was myself and Kieran. That was from the very start. We were looking out, and if there is any more out there, feel free to get in touch. 100%. We couldn't come across any more. But that's what it was then, and you just start reaching out, and the response was all was very positive from the start from all the different clubs, and I know a few of the clubs too would have hoped to have been able to bring ladies teams like the likes of Tyrconnell's Gales did, but they'll have more time for the next one and all like, and so, yeah, so listen, if there is more Donegal or Tyrconnell clubs out there anywhere, definitely get in touch with ourselves and with Brendan here.
We actually had, it was a couple of great events there, Conor. You obviously had the games, you had the business side, did we had the games, we had the nights out then, with all the entertainment there. There was a great crowd, there was a great atmosphere at it.
Yeah.
So many stalwarts from the different areas in North America there, and then you had all the different Masters teams out there and the ladies teams and that.
Yeah.
And there was so much crack to be had in many ways. It was a wee bit difficult juggling that and media, I'll be honest.
Right, right.
Now, of course, on what technically was my day off, I headed down to Paddy Kennedy in New York, which again, yeah. Along with Peter McDuff and that, the Morrisons were all out there from the town here at a wedding. We had another big night. So quite a lot of big nights built up into that, Conor. But certainly the energy and the atmosphere from everybody kind of carried you along, because it was such a good will there, and which is brilliant when we pull everybody together like that.
100%. Like, even just looking back, we were getting the flight from Dublin, and a group of, you were bumping into different people who were going out for the weekend. But there was a group of the Tyrconnell Harps players there from Glasgow, and just by chance, I was sitting beside one of the fellas, a good Steelstown man from Derry. And so we were chatting about the weekend ahead, and I'd say we were 10 minutes up into the air, and he turns to me and he was like, "Geez, lad, this weekend already feels like a complete success." Just and that was the buzz and the vibe, we still had about 8 hours to go before we even got to Philadelphia, but that was the kind of the vibe that you were getting off everyone was just excited and positive, and you were feeling that the whole weekend.
It was brilliant. God, what are you thinking then? I know obviously we had a couple of great panels out there in the Shebeen. We were great crack on the Sunday that time. Kieran Brogan was on, our sponsor, to show here, and spoke so well as ever. We had on some of the Masters. John was on, obviously Kieran and that as well. At that point, I actually didn't really want to say to them what's next, because it was kind of like, right, this is brilliant, let's talk about this. But that the thought of what's next, Conor, there's been the dust has settled a small bit now. Is there an idea of what might happen for the next one?
Yeah, well, definitely. Listen, and the plan, and all the clubs know this too, the plan is to move it around. So Philadelphia had the first one and have got the ball rolling. And then, you have the likes of Boston, New York, London, Glasgow, Dubai, Donegal too. Everyone's going to be hosting it at some stage. So, we had a great call with Kieran there on Friday, just going through the whole weekend and the crack and then looking forward, there's definitely going to be news out very soon. So there is.
Magic. What about Melbourne or somewhere like that? Is that?
If there's a Donegal, or if there's a group of lads out there who want to set up
Beijing
for next year, yeah. They're more than welcome.
But Conor, that's the thing about, and that's why I Dot McCafferty so much, because the first one was the one to have this idea was so brave, but now you've learned so much. So to be able to pass that on to somebody without getting maybe too pulled into another committee, maybe because you guys have done so much, but be able to pass that on. You already have all the links, you have all the names, you have all the details. To pass that on to somebody now is fantastic, Conor. So listen, I just want to say thank you from myself and the team, Mazout, Sean, Corrine and Oshie. Made an absolutely brilliant time. We were so well looked after. It'll live long in the memory, and before we know it, there'll be another one coming up.
That's it, exactly. And come here, thanks a million, Brendan, to yourselves and the crew at Highland, Oshin and Sean and Corrine and the likes then of and Stephen and the O'Reilly's crew, all yourselves, and it just added to the whole weekend, and as you said yourself, we'll be looking forward to the next one, and there'll definitely be news out very soon too.
News out very soon. Perfect, Conor. You just ended that pretty much on time there, as you do. You always have great timing, my man. I'll give you that much.
Cheers to me.
Yes, top man Conor Gibbons here. Of course, fair play to Conor and everyone that sorted out the Donegal Diaspora event. And of course, shout out to Riley Sports here. They give me a wee top of large. Joe was a wee bit tight on me at the minute, but I'm going to work on that. Stay tuned for the excellent Monday night sessions. The lads are ready to come in. Jimmy and Paul, great show lined up as ever. Yeah.